we want a book which has clearly identified the audience and the need and clearly offers an answer to it without anything that's too sort of wishy-washy, too generic, too rambling.
The Profile with Premier Christianity Magazine.
Yep. Lauren Wendell, thank you so much for agreeing to talk to us. I'm just going to give you a bit of an intro for our readers and potentially our listeners who don't know you, but who doesn't know you? I think most people do, because you are a UK author, journalist, speaker, and presenter who writes about faith, relationships, feminism, and addiction recovery. You are the author of Notes on Love, which was published in 2021, Notes on Feminism, published in 2024, Drawing as Prayer, which I'm really interested in, published in 2025. And you focus on topics like dating in church culture, women's roles in Christianity, and creative faith practices. You have talked about struggling with drug and alcohol addiction, and you became sober in 2014. And then after that, you became a Christian. You are currently the publishing director at SPCK Group, where you oversee and develop books while continuing, this is amazing, to continue your work as author, speaker, and media contributor. But what we really want to talk about today is your job as publishing director at SPCK Group. But before I get there, I just looked at your LinkedIn profile, which is very impressive. And I love, you have got the best bio of anyone I've read. It's so brilliant. And I'm just going to read out a bit of it, that you are proactive, personable, and toxically efficient. That is just amazing. And I can vouch for all of this because I have worked with you before. So I think this is all true. You specialise in publishing, journalism and broadcasting, and you were once described as Christian famous at a book signing and have been dining off it for 18 months. And then you say, get in touch if you are or you represent an author in the Christian space. And you say you're keen to hear from talented writers with fresh voices, which we'll get to later. But my first question is, does being Christian famous, which you are, does that help in your new role at SPCK?
Oh my goodness, what an intro. I feel like, you know, This Is Your Life with that big red book. I feel like this is your career, you know, talking me all through it. Yeah, fab. Thank you so much. Christian famous is such a funny phrase, isn't it? And I know, and like, jokes aside, you know, we're definitely stepping into a stage where we want to encourage smaller churches and smaller church groups over mega churches and huge platforms. And I know that some of the conferences now have their worship leaders like facing in, rather so that it's about, you know, so they're facing basically the same way as the congregations. So it's not about their faces and their performance, but about God. So there is definitely a part, can I be totally honest? There's a part of me that loves it and a part of me that absolutely bristles and hates it, you know? So it's funny. I guess it's different to... Well, also, like, I'm not that well known. There are far better known people, but there are certain spaces where I can walk in and sometimes people will recognize me, or maybe they follow me on Instagram or they've engaged with my work in some way. And I guess it's a bit different when you're doing that in the Christian space, because the things I speak about, the things I write about, I do that not to enhance my own platform or my own career. I'm not just trying to get makeup brand deals. I don't do any paid partnerships or anything like that on social media. It's because I feel like God's given me a message that I really, really think will help people. And when someone's read one of my books and they send me a message and they're like, oh, this is just what I needed, that's what we're going for. And in terms of whether it helps me as a publishing director, I mean, I think that the work I've done before definitely does. I mean, I worked with you on Women Alive and absolutely loved it, and met just probably up to hundreds, probably into three figures, low three figures, amazing female writers. Because we commissioned far and wide for the digital opinion page, and you guys have continued to do that long after I've left. So those relationships were already in place. I was already looking at people's writing, chatting to people about their writing beforehand. And then as a speaker, you're invited to conferences and festivals, and then I get the chance to meet and chat to people. Also, if I want to DM someone, it helps that I've got a little bit of an Instagram following.
Yes, gravitas,
Yeah, instead of
Yeah.
it just being me with my 112, mates from
Yeah.
secondary school, so there are little ways where it's definitely helpful, but it's something to be cautious of also.
That's so interesting that part of you loves it, part of you hates it. I can totally get that. And I guess as an author as well, you kind of have to, like it really definitely helps, doesn't it, to sell books? Have you seen that?
There's this, so I have to say, maybe I'm a little American, maybe I'm a little bit sort of PR-y, and marketing was my original background anyway. So I don't feel this to the extent that lots of the authors I work with do, particularly in the Christian space. They don't want to sell themselves. They don't want to hold up a book and say, like, here's something I did, because they know that they get money when you buy it. I have to say, it's very little money. It's,
Yeah.
people who are looking for their fortune don't go into Christian book writing, as we both
Yes,
know.
I can agree to that. Yeah.
But people really don't want to promote themselves. And
Yeah.
there's this weird conflict. We'll talk about books. And SPCK is a charity, and we publish some books which are just so important. The message of them is so important. But at the same time, if you've published that will bring the conversation forwards on faith, whatever the sort of niche topic of that book is, but very few people read it, you're not actually getting to the people who need it, people who it will help. So it has to be a mix of the two. If you just do amazing writing, but you don't promote it, then it's not gonna have the effect you want it to. You have to do the amazing writing, write on those important topics, follow where Jesus is leading in terms of speaking, but then you also have to tell people about it far and wide so that we
Yes.
actually get lives transformed through that message. And it's a weird, sticky, promotey, author brand world that in many ways feel really uncomfortable, but it is vital if you want people to engage with what you write and ultimately, have a kingdom benefit.
Yes, that's really helpful. I find that as an author myself, it is a bit embarrassing saying buy my book, it's great. Because I think as the author, you have less authority to say that because you're slightly biased. But if other people say it and then you repost them, I have seen definitely on Instagram, if other people put my book in their stories and say, this is great, you should buy it, then I see on Amazon there is an effect.
Different.
So it's hard because we want to step away from social media in some way, but we also need it for sales.
Well, if I'm speaking to somebody about a book that they say on a stage, if I'm interviewing somebody or hosting a panel, I'll always say to them, please bring up your book if it's relevant, but I will make sure everyone knows about it. At the end, I will hold it up and I will say, if you want to delve into this more. And I think that is more powerful. And it takes away some of that cringe factor if other people are willing to sort of hold it up and say, hey, you might want to learn a bit more, and there's a book that'll help you do this.
It's
But
such a kindness to do that. It really is. And I see that when people write reviews and stuff, that is also such a kindness. It's such a hassle to do it, but it is so kind because it does have an impact. Just to go back to you again and your new role, because you're now publishing director, which is very important. And you were writing for Women Alive not that long ago. How can you tell us about the journey and how God called you into this? Because it's a massive role.
Yes. And actually, when they, it's so funny, I really feel like I'm just speaking to friends because it's Women Alive. So I'm like, be a professional. Of course, I'm super professional, but also I just feel
You're with
super
your friends, you
comfortable.
are.
And I did the sort of press release that went out, through the official channels, but I also posted something separate on my social media just to say, like, hey, this is actually really quite remarkable that God has opened up this door for me in a way that you probably wouldn't have put in a sort of formal business. It's like LinkedIn versus Instagram, isn't it? But it is, it's totally remarkable. So before I was working with you guys at Women Alive, I wrote a book, which was Notes on Love, which you've already mentioned. And that was kind of my entry in 2021. So just as we were on the edge of pandemic time, coming out of it, that's when I started doing more stuff in Christian media. Because before that, I had been working for tabloid journalism and doing mainstream stuff. So then I worked with you guys. I did a show with your fab editor in chief, Dol, on TVN. which was absolutely brilliant. And then I started, popping up on the radio here again, Premiere and others, and writing articles and doing bits and pieces like that. And then I had a second book commissioned, which was amazing, and that was Notes on Feminism. And in between my first and second draft, my editor left. She got offered an amazing position at a different publishing house. So SPCK Group had this sort of period where they were replacing her, and they had another editor come on who is absolutely phenomenal, called Catherine Venn. So it was Elizabeth Neep who did my initial bit. Yeah,
Who
and
also
Catherine.
wrote For Women Alive a bit, yeah?
Yes, exactly. And then
Or
Catherine
Being
Venn
Future,
is
yeah.
a legend in her own right because she had been a director at Hodder Faith, a different publishing house. So
Wow.
yeah, so she did the second draft of that book with me. And I just thought, like, what a gift to have two
Yeah,
amazing
yes.
women pass their eye over this book. But she had only taken that on temporarily. She had family commitments and she wanted to make sure that those books were delivered and see it through, but she didn't see that as her sort of permanent position. So I grabbed a coffee with Wendy Grisham, who is the deputy CEO over at, who I think has probably also written for Women
Yeah,
Alive.
well, she has been interviewed, definitely. John
So then
Grisham's sister, isn't she?
she is
Which is
John Grisham's
amazing.
sister,
Yeah.
honestly.
I know.
What a sort of
Yeah.
publishing pedigree. So we grabbed a coffee and I said, do you know what it's going to look like and who's going to be my editor going forwards and things, and we just had a great chat and got on really well. And I said, well, look, would you consider interviewing? We're interviewing a few people and we've got some phenomenal people, but I wonder if it wouldn't be worth a chat with you as well. And
And
it's a
this was for
total
the commissioning role.
for a
Yeah.
commissioning editor. Yeah, so
Yes.
this is about 2.5 years ago, and it's a totally different to editing for magazines, because that is short timeline. If you're working on something that actually doesn't interest you that much, then it could be one day's work, it might be a week, but then you move
Yeah.
on.
Yeah.
Whereas with a book, you're committing to like a year's worth of like back and forth with that person. So it's longer lead. And you have to be really committed and invested in what's being written. But I interviewed and they amazingly offered me the job. And I did that for a couple of years, working under the publishing director, who I just got on with so well. And he decided that he was just going to wind down a little bit and sort of taper down his work as he worked out what he wanted to do with his family and retirement and various next stages for him and his own work. So he went down to 2 days a week, and suddenly there was this publishing director role. And I think in reality, in a bigger organization, or without God being involved, I think you'd probably want someone who'd been in the industry for much longer and things. But I just loved the job as a commissioning editor. I was super excited about strategy and reaching more people and the kinds of people. So I put together a presentation of what I hoped we would be able to do with SVCK and the sort of adult publishing. And they offered me the job, and I started at the beginning of this year.
So wonderful. Can you share a bit of that vision of what where you would love to see it? Because that would be so interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that there's such a big opportunity. Obviously, we've recently, the sort of quiet revival stats, which a lot of people have been pinning their sort of hopes for the church on. There's been some iffy stuff around the data collection. So we're no longer sort of using that data as an example of the ways the church is growing. But I think that we'd be silly to say that nothing's happening just because that study is no longer deemed valid. In our own church, SVCK Group, we've tracked Bible sales, and they're up 134% since the pandemic. So it's like
134.
absolutely skyrocketing. And I've got so many theories about this, right? But we are seeing more people walking into church.
Anecdotally, 100%.
Alpha have got data that suggests that. There's loads of other sort of sources of data that are pointing in a very positive direction. And I think it's so exciting. And when people are exploring their faith, coming to faith, asking questions, the first thing they're going to do, right, the first resource they need is a Bible. So it's phenomenal that people are, and like, we want that. We want them to have access to those Bibles straight away, if not sooner. But we also want to be providing them with supplementary literature that entertains, informs, unpacks that Bible for them, helps you know, with real life stories of other people who've struggled with similar things or just haven't struggled with, they've got totally different stories but are incredibly inspiring. And that's kind of where we come in. So we want to make sure, you know, and we've got loads of Bibles. We publish plenty of those. We have a Bibles editor who does that. But for me, I'm looking at what is going to get people excited and equipped to live out their faith, and what is going to connect the sort of culture and this new excited culture with Christianity. So we've got a book coming out from the fab Belle Tindall, who's now the Belle Tindall Riley, because she got married.
Double barreled. Nice.
Yeah, exactly. She's gone for it. And she was your columnist writing on feminism.
Yes, she was phenomenal. I'm so glad you've got her as an author, because she's such a good writer. Yeah.
She's so entertaining. And she's done this book, which is basically speaking to people who are looking for something more. It's called The Sacred Ache, who recognize that there's something in the spiritual, but they don't quite know where it sits yet. And she talks about manifesting and nature worship and crystals and witchcraft and tarot card reading and horoscopes and lots of different ways that people try and explore a spiritual realm. And she sort of says, like, yeah, I hear you. I hear that there's that ache, but hey, look, maybe you don't realize how wildly mystical and spiritual and phenomenal Christianity is. And here's where I found my answers to that ache. And she does that so beautifully. And I think things like that, there's such a need for somebody to come alongside people, not to shame people and say, what a silly, you know, why do you care about that? That's just tat or whatever. But actually just to say, like, yeah, of course you're longing. Like, I'm longing too. Here's what fulfills me. You know, and she does that so beautifully. So there's it's those kinds of storytellers, that are just so relatable that I'm excited to continue publishing.
That is really interesting, because that book sounds like it's so needed. But for that situation, was it a case of Belle coming to you, or you, because I've seen you just been to Spring Harvest, and you're part of the wider church, also aware of what's going on. Are you thinking, there is a gap here, we need a book for this topic, I'm going to find someone who'll write on it, and you thought of Belle? What way around was it?
Yeah, it was very collaborative, actually, and it works in many different ways. Sometimes someone sends a proposal and they've got a very set idea of what they want to write on, and sometimes that works for us and sometimes it doesn't, and we can sort of wish them well and send them off to speak to other publishers, and sometimes it's brilliant and sometimes it just needs a bit of tweaking and developing with a bit more of a commercial mindset to make sure it reaches the people you want to reach. And then sometimes we'll make approaches to people. Often if we're approaching someone and saying, like, would you like to write on this, we've probably already got a relationship with them. Like, maybe we've already published their first book or something like that, and we think, like, hey, this could be the right voice on that, but not necessarily. And Belle and I, we did a podcast together and we've worked together plenty, and I'm pretty sure that I opened up the conversation and then we batted around ideas and landed on something that felt like it was a good mix of what she wanted to write about and what she was ready to write
about. That's so interesting. Because one of my other questions, which was really like, how has have you felt the Holy Spirit help you in, because that book feels like it's a inspired decision. Have there been obvious, like, Holy Spirit moments of him kind of directing you? I don't know. Any stories that you, I know you've only just started the job, but, or from before, from the commissioning of the job.
Yeah, I can tell when I'm really excited about something, you know, because I get really fired. And actually, I think everyone in the office can tell. I'm like a dog with a bone about it. I'm like, should we talk about this one? Like, what about this? Like, oh, how are we going to do the cover of that book? And I get really excited. And I, you know, it's like picking your babies. Like, I love all the books we do, but every now and again, something just really, I feel totally on fire for it. And that's got to be Holy Spirit led. And I just want to talk about it all the time. You know, and stuff like that. So yeah, I think that there's definitely moments where I feel sort of like very much drawn to things.
So as you know, I've written a historical fiction novel and some biographies, and looking at the numbers of sales, it is discouraging. And I asked ChatGPT, because I often ask ChatGPT questions, and about like what expected numbers and ChatGPT says for Christian publishing, for new and unknown authors, it's likely that you will sell 500 to 3,000 in a lifetime of books, and often under 1,000 is normal. So publishing as a business, how, and I, it's interesting because you said marketing was your background, and I think Christian publishing needs better marketing, but we're already pigeonholed into a Christian audience, which is smaller. So how do you deal with this problem? What do you, what's your vision for it? How do you get, how can we get sales higher?
It's so funny because, you know, in your church, let's say there's 100 people in your church. I think if we went through each 100 of the 100 people in your church and said, when was the last time you bought a Christian book? Even though already the Christian market in the UK is a bit smaller, but the reading Christian market is
Interesting.
smaller still, you know, and I reckon 5 out of those 100 will have bought a Christian book that isn't a Bible in the last year. So actually, we've got this audience of Christians, but really, that's not the sum of our audience because the number of those who are reading, who have bought a book in the last year that isn't a Bible, will be far smaller. So I mean, we can encourage people that actually these are resources that are really valuable. We can make sure they're available on multiple mediums as e-books, as audiobooks, and things like that, which is very helpful for different people who read in different ways. I think that the number of books that sell across all markets, Christian and otherwise, is lower than people assume. I think if you people with no industry insight just said to them, you know, how many do you think the best-selling book on the Sunday Times list sold last week? I think that they would overestimate it. And I think that people do find those figures quite surprising. The fact is, though, that even though, say, there's 100 people in your church, if we asked each of those 100 people, when was the last time you bought a Christian book, say, that wasn't the Bible? I imagine that that number would actually be quite small. So, yes, we've got this smaller market, but actually the reading Christians within that market is smaller still. And I think that there are various initiatives. You know, we're in like the year of reading, and there's, you know, book days and all of these things to try and encourage people to get into it. And we've got some phenomenal kids' books that we do. I think it is a bit of an uphill struggle for marketing teams. I mean, we've got I really, really love the marketing team that we've got at SPCK. And I think that they do a phenomenal job and they're always really creative with the way that they talk about books. And we've got a Emily Beater, who is our publicist, is like, as a journalist who's worked with publicists loads, she's like unrivaled.
Exceptional.
But, you know, even so, that doesn't mean that it necessarily comes easy. And there are still plenty of opportunities to get people to know about books that we do that actually would really help them that they're just not aware of, and we've just got to take those opportunities as we can. Our head of sales and marketing will always say, you know, a book is always new if you haven't heard of it before. So like the actual time since it's come out isn't actually that relevant. You know, if someone hasn't read one of your books, that's a new book to them. So keep talking about it, you know, keep the conversation going.
You know, people say something about like hearing about the gospel a few times before people make a decision, or I can't remember what the saying is, but maybe people need to hear about a book a few times from different places before they even consider buying it.
Well, you have to offer a British person a cup of tea 3 times before they say
Well,
yes.
exactly. So, oh yeah, maybe that is
Maybe
the
the
same
same
for
with
a book. Let's
books.
try. I'm going to try. On that, I've got so many questions off the back of that, but one of them is that you published John Mark Comer, which for Christian publishing, I mean, if anyone is going to buy another Christian book that's not the Bible, it seems to be the Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, that everyone seems to be reading that. And you guys publish him in, is it in the UK or what's the situation?
So we are John Mark Comer's UK and Commonwealth publisher. So he has a North American publisher, and there are other publishers who publish him in different languages across Europe and other countries. Ruthless Elimination of Hurry actually wasn't published by us. That one was published by Hod of Faith, which is another exceptional publisher. House. He worked with them on that, and then we picked up Live No Lies and then Practicing the Way.
Practicing the way. Okay, yes.
Practicing the Way is not just a book, it's a huge ministry with a
Yeah.
phenomenal team, with courses and evaluations and so many videos, podcasts, supplementary materials. And then also it's got, we've got the main book, but then also nine smaller books which help you delve in a sort of small group way into
Wow.
those practices, things like gratitude and solitude and
Yes. All the disciplines. Yeah.
All of those disciplines that
Yes.
kind of come up. Witness practice is the most recent one that's come out. And then there's also like Sabbath meditations, which is practicing Sabbath. It's like a collection of sort of poetries and things that you might want to engage with in that
Wow.
time. There's loads of different stuff. It's really exciting to partner with a ministry that is so definitely hit the nail on the head with the felt need of the moment. Like
Yes.
people wanted that kind of wisdom
Yeah.
from people like Dallas Willard to be
Yes.
brought into their current context. And that's what John Mark Comer and that team have done so well. So it's brilliant to see it flying.
Yeah.
And there's plenty more to come from him and his team as well, which we're really excited about in the future.
Hi, it's Sam Hales, editor of Premier Christianity magazine. I'm proud to say we are celebrating our 60th anniversary. From our beginnings as Buzz in the 1960s to the vibrant multi-platform magazine we are today, our commitment to connecting faith with the world around us has never changed. To mark the occasion, we have a special offer of 12 months for half price. That's just £24 for print and digital access. Subscribe today at premierchristianity.com. Automatically renews at £47.99.
That it's exactly what you said. It's like the Christian zeitgeist. Can you say that? That he is answering the question that people are asking. So my other question is back to marketing. I feel
Yes.
like I am sticking on this a bit because I just think it's so interesting, and it's something that other Christian publishers needs to work on, I think. So a month or so ago, you published, is it All the Times You Were Not There? The memoir of Emma Fowle, who is my colleague, deputy editor at Christianity Magazine. And I was so impressed by the media that I guess SBCK had arranged for her. So she had breakfast TV for a Christian book. That I think that's phenomenal. She did articles in The Independent. And yeah, I just wanted to say well done for that. But also, was there, how did that happen? What was the way in?
I can claim no responsibility for that at all. I agree. I think the campaign for that book was phenomenal. I
Yeah.
think it helps that Emma is like just an exceptional and seasoned writer. So people want
Yeah.
to come from her. It's not a hard sell to say she'll write an article for you
Yeah,
and it'll be
and it'll
about the
be
sort of
good.
and people want it because they want talented writers to contribute. I think most recently she was in The Observer. So it's like
Yes.
it's loads. It's just done so well. That is the aforementioned Emily Beater, who I
Yeah.
really think is, there's a couple of people, I mean, Rhoda Hardy being another one, who are just exceptional sort of PR people for
Yeah.
Christian books. And really, if I didn't work at SBCK and I had a book coming out, I would try and hire her freelance. I just
Emily.
think, yeah, she just
Yeah.
cares. She cares about the books. She cares
Yeah.
about the message. She puts in the work. She's got brilliant relationships and has good
Yes.
conversations and things like that. And it really pays off. And that's why we've got such phenomenal campaigns like Emma Fowle's All the
Yes.
Time There. So my contribution to that book was working with Emma to get her sort of telling the story in a
Yeah.
really beautiful way to help. I mean, there are some people who need a lot of support with their writing.
Yeah.
Emma's not really one of them, you know. But
Yeah, I can
everyone,
imagine.
no matter how talented you are, everyone needs editing.
Yeah.
You can't
Yes.
sort of be off with the free folk. All writing is better with a second
100%. I actually
pair
love
of
the editorial process so much because it's someone else who cares about what you've written, and
eyes.
it's such a joy. This is a side question too. So when you've published books, obviously you're SBCK, so you're under a Christian banner. But if you want your books in the bookshop not to just be in the small Christian section at the back under the stairs, hidden away, you want them in the front. Can you, do you have any power to influence that, where the books go?
Do I or does
As a
SBCK?
publisher, yeah. Not really.
really. Different bookshops have different ways of doing things. And I'll caveat that this by saying that we've got our sort of sales and distribution team who would be able to sort of speak to this so much better than I can.
Yeah.
From what I understand, it's basically the bookshop's choice, how they sort of platform things. And for some people, there'll be things that come down from head office, you know, for bigger chain stores. And sometimes if it's an independent bookshop, then that's really the individual selling it. Obviously, yeah. At a Christian bookshop, they're more likely to understand your message and want to sort of put it forward as much as possible. But I think when authors pop their head in and say, you know, particularly if you're an author and you live in a town and it's got four or five independent bookshops, if you do a little afternoon tour, poke your head in and say, oh, I live just in the next town and I'd love you to stock my book. I find that people love that. And then if you post about it on social media and say, hey, you know, the corner bookshop is stocking my book and I've signed two copies, go and grab them. Then it means they get a little boost and promotion. Yeah. And hopefully you go in there and buy more than just that book, or you wouldn't have gone there before, but now you have and you love it. You know, so it works both ways. You know, just as publishers are really keen to see people reading more and authors are really keen to see people reading more, bookshops are really keen to see people reading more, that the three entities work together to shout about what they're doing and to encourage people to read and buy more books, the better, really.
Yes. Yeah, that's a really good answer. So I was looking into SPCK because I was wondering whether you are the oldest publishing company in the UK. Apparently not, even though SPCK started publishing in 1698.
Yeah.
But Oxford and Cambridge were a few years before that.
I think we're third. The oldest publishing house.
Okay, yes,
But third oldest all round,
And apparently you publish 80 books a year, is that right? Something like that, which is a lot.
Is that right? That's probably about right. The targets and what we do sort of changes year on year, but at the moment, about 80 books a year.
And then
John Wright.
Yeah, so I was going to say, you've got, as we said, you've got John Mark Comer, you've got Richard Rohr, John Lennox, Jill Duff, Tom Wright, you've got big names, which is so wonderful. And then you've got the new names like Belle Tyndall. What, you know, SPCK has been going for so long, but what's your vision for, what books do you want to be publishing in 2026 and beyond? What are you looking for at the moment? If there are any authors, potential authors listening, what would you be asking for?
Well, I think it's the combination of the right topic and the right author is the sort of sweet for us. And my CEO said to me in a meeting, you know, if the answer's always Jesus, what's the question? And actually, like, something that speaks to the questions that we are asking in our day, you know, something that provides a glimmer of hope for people, you know. And at the moment, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on in the media. There's a lot going on in the world. Things can be confusing. Things can be scary. Things are very polarized. Mm. Actually, you know, if people have a solution, you know, and in faith, we believe we have that solution, right? In Jesus, we believe we have that solution. So people who speak directly to the questions that culture is currently asking and speak hope into it is important. But my warning would be that any book that is too generic, it's very hard to get excited about. Full on grace or the biggest love or, you know, the epic journey, all as Christian books. If there are books that are called those things, then I hope not, because I've just made those up. So they're not, that is not a comment on specific books. Yeah. But actually, when you open up those books, the inside could be basically any number of things. And that's not what we want from a book. We want a book which has clearly identified the audience and the need and clearly offers an answer to it without anything that's too sort of wishy-washy, too generic, too rambling. People want clear answers to worrying questions.
Yes, that kind of answers my next question, which was, if you had a proposal, what would you say yes to and what would hold you back? So I think you've answered that. And on that, can people send proposals direct to you, or do you only work through agents?
No, we do work with we work with agents for sure, but we also do take proposals. It tends to take a little while for us to respond because when we get sort of unsolicited proposals and manuscripts through, we get loads, and we can only really respond to people who we think that there's sort of development potential with. It could be that you actually don't hear. We do our best, but it could be that you actually don't hear back from us. I know it's frustrating when people have put work into proposals, but just in terms of managing our time, it can be incredibly difficult to respond to sort of the many, many, many messages that we get. But yeah, we're always keen to hear from people who've already been published, new writers, new authors as well. So I think, yeah, I think there's always opportunities. I can give you the email address for that actually, if that's
Oh yeah,
helpful.
yeah, give it.
Submissions@spck.org.uk.
Brilliant. And if there's a woman love reader here who is thinking I'm going to write something in, what would you say to her to put her, or maybe him, who knows, to put her email on the more likely to be read?
They'll all be read, that's for sure. But more likely to be responded to, I think that people are a little bit rubbish at selling themselves. And actually, if you were invited onto stages, if you've got subscribers on your Substack, I think actually something that's really important that we find is a book is not a good way to launch a ministry. A book is the way to solidify the message that you that has been on your heart for years already, that you've already been talking about, already been writing about, and to it's to get your sort of key points in one thing that you can tangibly hand someone that they can have on their bookshelf forever. So actually, if you've never written an article, written a blog post, started a Substack, posted about it on social media, asked to speak in your church or neighboring churches or at sort of bigger conference and festivals, then it's probably not the right time to pitch a book. Because that's also a great way to test your material, to find out people's responses, to really hone your message. So I would say there are so many ways that you can start sharing your message with social media, with I think Substack's phenomenal as well. And you can do that just, you can write once. Some people write an article on there once a week, twice a week even. Some people do it once a month. Some people are less frequent even than that. But it's a free way of writing and expressing your message. So I think it's really important that people explore those options first. And if you can bring me a proven audience, if you can say, like, here's how many people engage with this. I've ended up with a load of subscribers on my Substack who are really keen for this message. I'm being invited to this place and this place and this place. Then that definitely makes it stand out because you can prove that this is something that is touching people, that is meeting that felt need.
That is very helpful. Okay, we're coming to the end, and I have got a quick fire.
Oh, fun.
I know. The first one, well, they're quick fire, but they may need to be expanded. So the
Okay.
first one is, His Majesty King Charles is SPCK's royal patron, I
Yeah,
hear. Is that right?
true. Yeah.
Have you met him? And if so, please tell the story.
Oh, I wish I could say I have.
Oh,
I
you haven't.
and I've never met anyone in the royal family, so I don't even have a substitute story for you.
I think you
So
need to arrange something so that he can come so you can meet him, just because
yeah.
to have met the king would be great. Okay, so that was quick fire. So next one, do you prefer fiction or non-fiction?
Oh gosh. Because virtually, not completely, but virtually everything I do at work is non-fiction and I love it. In my personal reading, I almost exclusively read fiction. And I think it
Interesting.
might feel like a busman's holiday to do sort of there are some Christian books that I read in my own time, but actually if I want to read for pleasure, it's some sort of cozy mystery.
Yes. Off the back of that, will you ever write fiction? Because I would definitely read it if you did.
Oh, would I? I don't think that my imagination's up to it. I think I'd just end up writing things that actually happened and pretending they hadn't.
That's fine. That's totally fine. You could do that.
I bet
People,
loads of
that's what,
fiction
yeah, that's
people
how you do it. That's what you
do
do. You just change what's happened in your own life. Okay, tea or coffee?
Oh, tea. Yeah.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs, no question.
Okay, and tell us about the dog who has been in this podcast silently in the background, and I've just seen him stretching on your sofa. Tell
Coming
us
up.
about the dog. Who is he? Or she?
I got her. She was a rescue puppy, and I got her August 2024. So she's coming up to 2 years. She was 10 weeks when I got her, so she's like 3 months shy of 2 years. And she is just the biggest maniac that I've ever brought into my home. Like, what an absolute whirlwind. I think if I'd known how intense having a dog was, I probably would never have done it. So I'm actually pleased I didn't know, because we've gotten to the other side of some of the most trying puppy stuff. And she's just so fun. And I just love having my little companion, and I take her with her. She's a bit too small for like a
She's not a
handbag.
little companion. She's big. What is her breed?
So she's a Vizsla crossed with a Braco Italiano. And she looks a lot like a Vizsla, and they know that her mum was Braco Italiano because she was rescued at the same time from the same sort of puppy farm. So yeah,
Wow,
she's great.
lovely.
She's called Rainy.
Rainy. Oh. Okay, two more. Beach or mountains?
Beach, but there is a real majesty about mountains. I think beach because I never went to mountains as a kid. I wasn't a skiing holiday person. So I've only actually seen them a couple of times as an adult. But when I do, I'm like blown away. But they're
Yes, me
just
too.
not my natural habitat.
Come to Cape Town, you get both.
Yes.
London or New York?
Oh, it's got to be London, but that's a really tough question because I'm a city girl. I grew up in London. So I like busy capital cities. No, that doesn't put me off at all. I'm able to sleep through the sounds of sirens and traffic and things like that. And I always have such a good time in New York. And actually, one of my favorite churches is over there, Church of the City. If I'm, that's the one I'll go to. So I mean, it feels like a bit of a, I'd say Paris is my second home and New York is my third home.
Because you're a French speaker, is that right? Because you spent time there.
If people listening to this are French speakers, then the answer is no. If people listening to this have got GCSE French from a
Me.
British school, then yes, I am a French speaker.
Totally fluent. Yeah.
You will
Okay,
be
this
bowled
is.
over.
Yeah. The final question is a bit unfair because you may have forgotten, because if you work on so many articles, it's easy to forget the last thing you've been working on. But from your remembrance of working at Women Alive, what was your favourite article, or is there any article that really stayed with you and we can link it?
That I wrote or that I edited
Well,
as someone?
actually, any. I mean, I was thinking what you wrote, but if something else comes to mind, share that.
There was a really powerful testimony, and I'm so sorry, I can't remember her name, from a woman who had PMDD, and she had eventually decided to have a hysterectomy. And I remember reading that and feeling incredibly moved. And we did those kinds of stories often. And I felt so proud to be able to help people tell those stories from places of despair, to bring hope and talk through things that they had gone through. And I think that that is such a vital, vital service that Women Alive do for somebody who's also struggled with the same thing. It's like to read that can just feel like such a breath, like someone else gets it, you know? And there were so many like that, but that's the one that sort of sprung to my mind. In terms of what I wrote, I wrote an article that would probably, if I was there now, I would have updated by now. But I Googled, and it was just so much, it took ages, took longer than most of the articles that I wrote. But I Googled every single member of the England football team
Football
for that
team,
World Cup. And I did a deep dive to see who was a Christian and who wasn't, because I found myself watching it and thinking, I wonder if he's Christian. I wonder if he's Christian. And some of them were really outspoken about faith. Some of them I found, and I really like some of them I found that they'd gone to like a Catholic secondary school, and I put that in, you know. So I like really went for it,
So good.
and
We need to update that. We'll go back to
I thought that
That
was
is
really
excellent. Oh, thank you. Lauren Wendell, thank you so, I like to say your whole name, Lauren Wendell. Thank you so much. This has been brilliant. We, Women Alive, have loved it. Is there anything you want to end with? Anything to share before we go?
Yeah, I think if there are any budding writers out there, I would just say, you know, creators create. And it's important to do that before anyone imposes a brief on you, before you take it to a publisher or an editor, you know, say like Woman Alive editor or something like that. Actually create for yourself, enjoy it, love it, enjoy that process, share that process with God. And also I think this, I don't think this was me, I wonder if it was Rachel Newham who said this, but you know, breathing in, reading is breathing in and writing is breathing out. And you really read everything if you want to be a writer. Read absolutely everything, all different perspectives, all different narrative, narrator point of views, fiction, non-fiction, Christian, non-Christian, newspaper, blog, back of a box. Like get used to how writers write and you'll find your voice within that. And I think that's really powerful.
I know I said that was the end, but I have got one question that's just come to me now. It may be a long question, but you can answer it as briefly as you want. With the arrival of AI and ChatGPT, how has that affected you and your job and publishing? And do you get people who've written books or proposals through ChatGPT?
I'm sure people do use ChatGPT to at least support their proposals or to get them started with their proposals. I think if a writer is exclusively using ChatGPT for a proposal, I think A, I'd notice.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big statement. And B, I don't think that that person's really cut out to write a book if they aren't confident enough in their own work to explain their work well and succinctly in a proposal. I think AI is a valuable tool for research, but it's very affirming. So actually, good research explores the pros and cons of your argument rather than just asking for data that supports the pros. And I think that ChatGPT may skew towards doing that. And I think that's a shame. It brings opportunities in translation, I think.
Yeah, interesting.
You know, like SPCK cannot pay 70 different writers from 70 different countries to translate each of their books. And for very important books that need to be translated into other languages, I think it's valuable to, of course, it's valuable to pay a person to do that. But if it's a book that never would have made it into Arabic, then actually like getting ChatGPT to translate, I'm still grappling with the morality of it, but there's an argument that is very positive for some, particularly smaller
to get
languages.
Things out there. Yeah.
It's so expensive to translate. So I think that there's some good opportunities there. I mean, there was a book famously published by a mainstream fiction book that I read a little bit about the topic, and it didn't seem particularly palatable, but someone might like it. It was pretty grim and sex riddled. But there was an originally self-published book that was then picked up by a mainstream publisher, this would have been maybe 3 weeks ago, that was pulled because it was found to be something like 60 or 70% AI.
Wow.
So it was pulped and they scrapped it and they got rid of all of their copies and things. So it's something that the industry is talking a lot about. I just, at least at the moment, high level prestige writing by writers who have taken the time to hone their craft and think through what they want to say and communicate clearly, AI cannot rival that. I mean, who knows? Who knows how it will progress? But at the moment, what you get is something that from a distance looks a bit like good writing. And then you read it and you think, well, what does that actually
Hang
mean?
Hang on. Yeah.
Yeah. So for now, I think we're safe. But
brilliant. We'll end on that. That's hopeful. Hopeful for me as a writer. Okay. Thank you so much, Lauren. Have a lovely day.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.
Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save.